three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Tuesday night, 1st of November, at about 10 o'clock on the East Coast. My name is Joseph Corr. I'm joined by Andrew Canyon. Make himself known in a second. We're doing something a little bit different this week. We're about a quarter of the way through the season. Each team's played anywhere between 5 and 7 games, and that's about a quarter of 28. So we're going to be not only looking at the last round's games, but looking at where teams sit on the ladder. Are they going up? Are they going down? And really asking the big question of, who's in the top four? And we're going to be delivering some declarative statements. There's a lot of wishy-washy stuff going on. Declarative statements. Are they a top four team? Are they a top two team? Are they a contender? Are they serious? Are they not? And if they aren't, what do they need to do? So on and so forth. But before we get into all that, Andrew Canyon.
Hello, Joseph Corr. Nice to be here again. It's I'm ready to make some declarative. That is so hard to say. Don't make me say that a lot.
Declarative.
I'm ready to say some stuff with confidence.
That'll do too. Stuff with confidence. We're going to say some stuff with confidence. That could be the title of this episode. We're also going to talk about delay a game. We're taking it to the tweets, if I can find the theme tune.
It's probably going to play at some point. Talking to Joe before we pushed record, I said, we've got to get the taking it to the tweets thing sorted out. He said, I'm not sure I still have that audio file. Like, what are you doing, man? That is the best audio file we've ever produced on this show. We've got to find it.
I'll find it. That's a promise.
We've got a press conference stuff as well.
Because Andrew is media accredited, which by extension makes the podcast media accredited. Is that
that's
fair?
That's what it says. That's what it says on the badge. I'm only there because of the podcast. It says Andrew Canyon on my badge, Andrew Canyon, podcaster, NBL Pocket Podcast.
Wow, podcast.
That's why I'm at the game. I'm not there to enjoy the show and eat some popcorn and drink some beer.
No.
I'm there to take notes, ask questions.
Casting. Let's jump into this. So teams have played, as I said, at the top of the program. Teams have played a quarter of the season. Adelaide have only played 4 or 5 games, I think it is. So they're because of the US trip.
Yep.
But we're going to go through and declarative statements. And when we might talk about last round's games, just offshooting from talking about each of these teams. But let's start it right at the top. Now, I did this kind of halfway through the round. So at one point, Sydney were the top team. Now they're not. But let's start with them first. Sydney Kings. They currently sit second on the ladder. They're 6-2. They've played some pretty good teams, a bit of Melbourne. They've played New Zealand, I think, you know, so they've played a lot of the top 6 teams. Okay. They look pretty good. Before I say anything, what do you think of this team, Andrew?
Sydney Kings, they've dodged a few bullets along the way, mm-hmm. and not the Brisbane ones. I think take care of the Brisbane bullets if they need to. But they're getting wins, right? They lost against Adelaide. And who was the other loss they got? So I can't remember now. Test of my own memory. Too many games. But I think they've got the runs on the board. They're the team. They're the team to beat. They got depth everywhere. Mostly everywhere with some asterisks, which we can talk about. But they are the top team in the league.
Yeah. Well, here's what I've got down. So they're yet to play Tasmania, Perth, and New Zealand. They're the only teams they haven't played who are of any consequence. They lost to Adelaide, didn't they?
They did lose to Adelaide, yeah.
Did you say they did or did you say another team?
I said they did. Is that the only? Yeah.
That's the only one I can remember. Anyway, looking at the advanced stats on this team, their pace is a league best. They play really fast. They play the game on their terms, which is to say fast. Best offensive rating, and I think second best defensive rating. When I last checked it, I think that may be sometime during the round. So, they're very good. I don't know what else to say. Consistency off the bench is my only question for this team. I look at our bench, and we've spoken about it before, but quite annoys the guy. Hit the big game winner against Cairns, but we'll shoot you in, we'll shoot you out. Doesn't mind putting up a shot. Sometimes it can be a bit wayward. So that's the one question for them. But let's go to the game against Cairns. What did you see in that game? Anything in particular from either team?
Well, I just want to say I annoy as well. It was incredibly frustrating for me that he hit that game winner because earlier in that game, I was just thinking, like, watching him play, I'm like, he's such a chucker. Like every time he gets the ball, throws it up. Doesn't care where he is on the court, what he's doing, chucks it up. And he was missing earlier, and then he hit the game winner. So it makes it hard to criticize a guy when he's done that.
Majuk Deng was in no man's land. Wasn't guarding the ball, wasn't watching. Noi just took one step to his right and caught a chest pass. Yes, protect the hoop. Cooks for a lob. I just didn't buy any of that. I just thought, nah, this is Majuk Deng. He's got a bit of a reputation for not being the best defender, and he hit the nice shot. Got to hand it to him on his birthday.
Yep.
I will say one thing about the shot that I think kind of summed up the NBL, modern NBL, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Noi hits the shot. Players come together. That's great. They're dancing, jumping. And then the first people they run over to, it's not the fans. It's not a section of fans. It's not the bench. It's the owner and the GM. And this is going to sound, everyone, I'm not a Kings fan. What can I say? They haven't done any favors for us on this podcast. But I just thought, I don't know about you, Andrew Candy, but when you have a success at work, I don't jump straight into the arms of my employer for a pat on the head. I found it, it was cringy. There, I said it. Said it now.
Yeah. I think it's a really good point. And that they encourage fans to go to the game. They say, your cheering makes a difference. You help us win games. You help us put the opposition off. You know, you do all these things. It's all about the crowd engagement. Mm. But yeah, you're right. Come the win. Forget the fans. And then that's backed up again today by what Adelaide player, my memory is shot tonight. It's been a long day. Randall, yes. How he was saying, look, I don't play to please fans or anything. I play my own game and I don't care what the fans say. I'm like, what's this between Sydney not caring about their fans? He doesn't care about his fans. What's the point of a fan? Everybody's paying out in the fans all of a sudden.
I saw it and I was like, ooh. Because you wouldn't see it in the AFL. First of all, the owners wouldn't sit there, but the AFL, you saw it 1,000 times in the semifinals and so forth. Collingwood and that, they'd win and they'd jump straight into the fans as some psycho with his face paint on. You know, it was charming.
Yeah.
But then it's like to jump into the arms of your GM.
Yeah.
Guy can either fire you, hire you, cut you. And then the owner, it's like, oh, can we get a bonus maybe? We love you.
Yeah.
I thought it was trying. Sydney Kings hate incoming, by the way. I can actually feel it right now. My temperature's raised just a little bit knowing it's coming.
In last year's version of this pod, we would have had a word for that kind of behavior. We're not doing that anymore.
We've been well behaved as far as using that word. Well behaved. The word that shall not speak its name. But Sydney Kings, I'll ask you this question, yes or no. Top 14?
Yes, absolutely. Top two, yes.
Definitively, I agree. I don't see how they're not a top two team.
They've just got too many weapons all over the place.
Cooks
and
Let's jump on. Let's go to New Zealand. This team is actually on top of the ladder, but we're doing them a second. 5-2. There's that weird table thing where they've won more of their games because they've played less, blah, blah, blah. Yep. Listen to this, Andrew Kent. They're 5-2.
Six and two,
pardon me. They've.
I'm looking at the ladder. Assuming the NBL ladder is correct, which is a dangerous assumption in itself. Right?
No guarantee.
I'm just looking at the league website.
They've played and beaten. Wrong. And listen to this. Tasmania, Southeast Melbourne, Cairns, Adelaide.
Mm.
And they've held all of those teams to sub 80 points. This is the best defensive team in the league. They're third in defensive rating, last in pace. They play every game on their terms. Yep. I'm going to ask you a definitive question. Are they a top 14?
I've got to be definitive, don't I?
You do?
Yes, they are.
Why?
Surprisingly so. I did not expect this from New Zealand.
No.
But I think what it comes down to is in this league, if you've got good imports, you're going to be a good team.
Mm.
That's Brantley a huge part of it.
Good. Do you like him?
I do like him, yes. And I like Pardon. I really like Pardon. Because he's kind of that physical big. He's not too big that he's a slow, Gumby out there on the court. He can move. He's athletic enough and he's strong. He's kind of like a Matt Knight, I would compare him to.
His shooting percentages are off the charts. He just doesn't take any risks. It's all just rebounds, putbacks, layups. I like this team. Real clear identity. They're sort of Jack Jumpers. So if the Jack Jumpers are Perth 2.0, mm-hmm. that makes New Zealand of this season Jack Jumper Wildcats 3.0 because they play slow, they rebound very strongly, they move the ball with purpose, limit turnovers, limit pace by that nature. They've just got a clear identity. Yeah. They're going to grind you down. And the way they played Adelaide and said, Adelaide, good luck. We're going to run you off the line at the three-point line. We're not going to let you do. Totally crushed them. Just totally. And whether Adelaide still played, no, they got beaten badly. But just the way they took them off the line, the way they said, yep, we are going to force you to do this. And the fact that Adelaide had to do it, I think New Zealand can do that to every team. They have a real strategy and they execute it. I think they're a top four team as well.
Yeah. And they've still got Abercrombie to plug back into this team as well.
Good point.
Assuming he makes it back. Even a semi-fit Abercrombie, he's not going to try and do anything that he can't do. He's very reliable. So I think he could plug back in even if it's just for 5-10 minutes a game.
Indeed. Now, this team was third. Oh, sorry, I'm moving on. Last thoughts?
No, that's okay. They're a good team. It's good to have them playing back in New Zealand and getting the New Zealand TV coverage, which is still the best in the league.
Totally. And I'll just say on this, last year, last season at this time, at the end of round six, the ladder position was actually a pretty good indication of success. And it's just weird to take a departure here before we do Tasmania. But Adelaide at this time last year were eighth. They finished seventh. Brisbane, seventh. They finished eighth. Cairns, fifth. They went on to finish ninth. That was a big discrepancy. Illawarra, third. They finished second. Melbourne, fourth. They finished first. New Zealand were last. They finished last. Perth were one. Top of the ladder, they finished fifth. Southeast Melbourne were second. They finished sixth. Sydney was sixth. They finished third. Tasmania, ninth and fourth. A few jumping around, but you do agree that the quarter of the season, you can tell who's good at this point, players and team?
Mostly, yeah. There's a couple of surprise packets sort of on the bubble. Like New Zealand, I didn't expect them to be this good, and you sort of think, will they keep it up? But from everything we've seen, yeah, they will. So there's a couple of other on-the-bubble teams, like Melbourne and stuff.
We're getting to those there down the list. But this is this a team on the bubble? Tasmania, they currently sit in fifth, 4-3 after losing their first three in a row. Yep. There are four on the trot. Simple question, are they top four?
They're top four. Well, going to run out of top four spots.
Declaratively, definitively, you're comfortable?
Yes.
Me too. Me too, yes. Why?
They're so solid. Like, they're not going to beat themselves. You know what you get with Tassie. They will occasionally lose big, but I think most of the time they won't. They'll hang around in games and they'll do enough to be competitive. And I think that'll win them enough games this season to see them in that top four. Mm. And I had real concerns about their offensive firepower earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. But I've sort of come to terms with that. I think it's been resolved. And then they still, at some point as well, talk about getting guys back from injury. Okay. They got Magnat and they got Steindl. Both of those guys still to come back.
Say that. I had not factored into my thinking. Wow, you said it, pal.
So I just think they got weapons. And their defense, they work hard every single game on defense. They do not take a break. And they have guys, so I'm really rabbiting on now, but they have guys that are just happy to do the dirty work. Like your Jared Bairstow,
your Jared Weeks,
Fabian Krislevich, like all these guys, they don't care if they don't get highlight reel plays. Mm. If they box out letting their teammate get a rebound, they take that as a personal win.
Yeah, I agree.
Perfect kind of guys to have on your team.
Doyle and Kelly, I'm enjoying the size. They're a little bit more sprightly than who were the imports last year? Majet's the same, but yeah. Adams and McIntosh. I'm enjoying McIntosh was powerful. Didn't have a lot of finesse to his game, but was pretty effective towards the later in the year. I just want to say, typical Tasmania, they're a Perth knockoff, Perth of the past. Turnovers, their third last, as in the third fewest, and not by a lot off being the lowest turnover team. And then also offensive rebounding percentage, their third best. So they don't throw away, as you put it, they don't beat themselves. They don't throw the ball away, and they go and get second chances at a miss. So you do that in the NBL and then you play pretty good D, which the D doesn't really come through in the numbers, but you can tell. And then they're going to protect home court. Their home court just seems really difficult to play. Really difficult to play. Perth got absolutely destroyed. But we both agree, they're a top four team.
Yeah, and I think just picking up on that Perth point, how Perth is so terrible at the moment.
We're going to get it.
I think the entire Tasmania coaching staff are ex-Perth guys.
Yeah, Jacob Chance.
Scott Roth, Jacob Roth. Chance, Mark Radford. I think that's it. But there you go. Three guys, all with Perth heritage.
Yeah, well, it shows. It shows, and the irony that it's been so effective with way lesser players. Anyway, we're going to get to Southeast Melbourne. They sit in third. They're 5-3 This is a toughie. Are they a top four team? Do you want to give your answer first? Or do you want me to?
You go first.
I don't have them in my top four.
Interesting. Okay. Mm. Why not?
I'll say they're good. Their roster balance is good now that they're healthy. Here's why I don't have them in the top four. The defense, I think they've got the second worst defensive rating. I worry that they're going to lose games on the strength of that. And then also, Adam and RTR, Ruben Tarangi, these two still play, this tandem still plays 45 minutes per game. When you're living in flux like that, although I do really like this team, I have a different team in my top four. Just for those playing along, we've already got Sydney, New Zealand, and Tasmania on the top four. So I don't have them in the top four. Do you?
I do.
Okay, why?
I do. I'm running out of top four positions. I'm just going to... They got top four too. They just, now they've got their full roster back. Boy, they're deep.
Like, are they though?
Yeah, I think so, because I think the...
Brown, Kells, Brokoff, Creek, Big Sauce, Joe Chi, Pinot.
That's a good
Adnam Tarangi.
Okay, Tarangi's a weak link, right? But don't worry about him, because you bring in Junior Madut. And I think he's okay.
Yeah, he's okay.
So I'm okay. I'm all right with that.
I see fouls. Like, who backs up Creek? Pinot, I guess.
Pinot, yeah. I remember seeing Antasevich play at the Blitz, and I really liked his game. Okay. So I've got complete confidence in that guy as a youngster off the bench. I just reckon they've got all bases covered now. And this is amazing turnaround, because I think two shows ago I was saying that Simon Creek was short odds to lose his job.
Smith.
I had to face up to Simon Mitchell at the last press conference as well. That was a little awkward for myself, hoping you hadn't heard that show. But yeah, I just think they've got weapons all over the court. Brokoff is playing the best he has
ever
played
in this uniform.
I'm going to
give you his shooting splits in a second. Wait until you hear his shooting splits. Holy moly, you keep talking though.
And Brown is just at the point where he understands what he's got to do to control the team, and he's a really nice point guard who can score the ball as needed but doesn't go over the top with it. I just like a lot of what they got going on.
Mm. Simon Mitchell, going back on that, Simon Mitchell reminds me of almost like a caricature of an Australian person you'd see on Kath and Kim. He's like, I got to do this, you got to do that. in a kind way. Like, it's charming. I find him charming. I think a lot of people do. But he's like, sometimes in interviews and that, players must come to that team and be like, holy shit, this guy for real. But that was the UK thing. But if you did it over here, I feel like Simon Mitchell would be a character on that show, politely.
Well, this might be the good time, Joe, that we drop in the question I asked of Simon Mitchell after they beat the Perth Wildcats in Perth by a point. So we'll play that.
Hey, Simon, Andrew, can you maybe a podcast?
How you doing? I can barely see you.
Just wanted to ask a question around strategy. It seemed like you were able to reverse the ball a couple of times and then find some good looks near the basket, which was a good strategy on your behalf, and then it seemed like they tried to compensate for that and opened up Rowdy for some shots in the second half. Was that the plan going in, or just how it played out?
No, not necessarily. I mean, sometimes when you've got the offensive talent that we have, and you're just sort of, it's like a boxing match. You go in, you sort of feel each other out for a round or two, and then you find something that's working and you commit to it. The majority of our strategy is about the other end of the floor. We've had people that we want to attack from an offensive standpoint, but there's multiple ways of getting into people that we want to go after. The majority of our week preparing is about how do we want to defend Bryce, how do we want to defend Travers, and how do we want to defend Nordo. Like, that's where most of the strategy comes in. The one thing tonight, we were pretty good in the paint with our scoring, and that does free up a shooter like Rowdy. And sometimes, guys just face guard him, and he's out there, and it's almost like he's a decoy. And what it does is it creates extra space for us to operate in. And when we're punching the ball around the perimeter and we're putting it on the floor and we're attacking north-south, we're a very difficult team to guard. For us, it's still learning, still finding ways that where we can get a little bit more efficient at the offensive end, but it's starting to come. I mean, crikey, where we shoot from the floor. 51% tonight, so that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, the thing that didn't get picked up on that clip was, Simon Mitchell, you talk about him being a character. after the press conference ended, he stood up and he's like, Andrew, mate, what's with that question? He said, you can't ask me strategy questions. Like I'm going to say anything about strategy. Give me a break. And I said, Simon, I'm asking questions on behalf of the fans. It's the stuff they want to know. I had to give it a crack. Like
he understands that.
He understands. I think he gets it. It's like, I'm not ESPN. I'm not going to ask, I'm trying to take a different angle.
Careful.
ESPN are great. Don't get me wrong. ESPN are
fantastic. What are you?
I'm not.
Don't ever do. Let's jump on to Cairns. ESPN are good. Good people.
They are good.
They're very good. Cairns, let's jump on. They're sitting in fourth, 4-3.
Yeah.
Are they top four?
No, I've run out of top four spots. You've run out of top four.
Are they playing top six?
It's getting serious now.
It's getting very serious. Although, is it? I hate to bury the lead here, but that means to have them in the top six, they need to be better than four teams. Out there in the world is still Illawarra and Brisbane. There's Adelaide. Mm-hmm. There's Perth. Melbourne.
Yep. Yep.
They're the contenders. So are they better than two of them?
Damn it, Joe. I'm putting them in. We said we were going to make firm statements. They are in the six, man.
Okay.
Give me some Cairns.
Put them in. Why?
They're so much fun to watch. I just want to see more of them. But they have got DJ Hoag, right?
Mm.
DJ Hoag is what we thought Brady Manick was going
to
be.
Can I stop you there? I just want to say you and Nick Tan were the first on this Hoag train. In the blitz, you were like, this guy can really shoot it. I was like, oh, come on, like stretchy big. Like, okay, I'll see, believe when I see it. You guys were quite confident on that. And he's been shooting very, very confidently, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I like his game. I like the fact he's just willing to back himself and take those shots. And the high arcing shot that he's got, they look pretty when they go through. Cairns have Pinder at the front court. They got the MVP coach, Adam Ford. Like, he's the most fun coach. Can we have some sort of fun coach award? Because he should win that.
We'll come up with a name for that.
Yeah. I just love them so much that I want them to do well. So I'm probably a little biased based around my enjoyment of the team.
Okay.
What have you got? You got some advanced stats for us?
Yes and no. They're third. Here's why I don't have them in the top four. I've still got a top four spot open. I've got Sydney, New Zealand and Tasmania in my top four. Pretty much aligning with defensive teams, which is what I think wins over here. I think that, I don't have Cairns. I think they're riding amazing confidence. Their e-diff is not great. Like they win some games and they lose some games. I don't feel like their impact in games that are close, they kind of get nipped. And I'm not going to say they're lucky to win those games. I don't want to say that, but they don't have the same command over games that Sydney, New Zealand or Tasmania do because they're kind of wishy-washy on defense. They don't crush teams. I hope I'm explaining myself well. I hope that makes sense. But they're riding with confidence. But what happens when... ... is what I've got written here. How do they sustain an injury? If Pinder kind of misses a couple of games, that happens to every team. I know it's horrible to say, oh, I don't have them in because of a hypothetical, but it's almost not a hypothetical. Something's going to come up where it's someone... has got to fill it, and I'm not so confident of that.
Joe, I think you're missing something there because they are currently doing that. They are covering for Tajir McCall not being there at the moment.
Yeah, I think the problem is there. Like, then he comes back. That's the what if, in a strange way.
You reckon? You reckon they're better without him? Addition by subtraction.
Players would be better without him. I think it's really hard to be a starter and then not be a starter and play 25 minutes and grease yourself into a game and then only play 10-15. We kind of saw it with Kouatanoi. In the first year they were good. Remember, he was a starter, got hurt, never joined the rotation two seasons after that. Injuries can be a blessing and a curse. And I feel like Adam Ford's almost the guy who does better and more with less in a strange way. What I will say for the team is Adam Ford seems to really instill confidence. They're just a confident team. I don't think they're doing anything tactically brilliant. They're shooting a lot of threes, league leading in three-point attempts. And, you make them on confidence. And he's done that. And, Pinder's an MVP this, da-da-da. He does a lot of confident stuff. So I do like him, but no, I don't have them in my top four. I have them boiling around six. If you don't mind, I won't tell you whether I have them in on in or out of the six, because that's a conversation for the end. I want you to, I want to leave it open, but I'll be declarative once that happens. Let's jump on Melbourne.
I do want to say just about Cairns. Yeah, yeah. I want to say Cairns easily win the award for the coolest team in the league.
Oh, for sure.
They're so cool. Just everything about them. Cool players, cool haircuts, like cool uniforms. I just love Cairns this year.
Good luck to them. Melbourne United. I really want to talk to you about this team. Really want to talk to you about this team. Yep. They sit in sixth. They're 4-4 after what was a pretty average start. Straight up, are they a top four team? You obviously don't think so. So are they top four or are they top six? Talk me out of why they shouldn't be either of those things, or where do you have them?
They are outside the playoffs this season.
Oh, you don't have them in sixth?
I don't have them sixth, no.
Top six? Wow, you got to talk. No, I think I'm just going to say now, I actually have them in the top four.
Wow.
But I want to hear I want to hear why you don't have them in the top six.
Okay. Did you see how hard they had to work to beat Illawarra? There's my opening statement. And then they were so fortunate enough to come up against the dysfunctional Perth team, who played them into a bit more form. Anybody could beat Perth at the moment. They only just beat the Hawks. They still haven't solved the Caroline issue. They've just hidden it for the time being because the teams they've been playing have been pretty hopeless. I still have concerns about his ability to work within the team structure for an entire season. Mm-hmm. That I reckon that could blow up any point. It's like a ticking time bomb. Golding still looks frustrated at different points in the games, and they've got like no real rim protection apart from Humphreys, but he gets foul trouble or injury trouble. So I can't see them having enough to get there.
Here's why I do have him in the top four. Illy's return really kind of ratchets positions. I find it really helps them. And also the fifth in defensive rating. I think with him, it could jump anywhere to 2-3. If you're one of the top 2-3-4 defensive teams in the NBL, you're going to win games. You're going to do well. And that's, you know, I'm taking a punt here, but I think they're going to finish top four. I actually like Tucker. I think he's super athletically explosive. You say mental midget struggling. I disagree. Was forced to come off the bench and took it with grace and scored a bunch on a really high clip and looked. Perth didn't have anyone who could stay with him at all. No. Crushed him.
No.
I don't know if many teams have anyone who can go with him inside, outside, and strengthen athletically.
Cairns do. Tajir McCall
can. All right. So they come up against Cairns, what, 2-3 times a season, though? You know, it's all those other teams where he's going to run through Perth every time they play. He's going to run through Southeast Melbourne a little bit when they play. Adelaide, New Zealand might be an issue, but, you know, most of the teams he's going to run through. I like it. And then XRM.
No. Hang on. What's his name? RXM?
KFC. BMW.
MXW.
MX. Let's keep going with it. That was funny. I feel bad for making fun of Jenny Screen. Poor Jenny Screen. RXM multiple times. What's happening there? There are ad breaks. Just tap it. Jenny, first of all, he's actually a commentary colleague of ours. Secondly, Xavier Wrath and Maze. Yeah. XRM. Yeah.
If you can't say the initials, just call him by his name. Just say Rattan Maze, like everybody else.
Is it Rattan or Rathan?
Oh, I've always heard Rattan. But like, you make it sound as posh as you possibly can. Like Rattan.
You know what? Next time he's in the commentary booth, let's ask him.
Let's ask him.
He's right there.
Call him Xavier. Just if you can't say the letters, don't say the letters. There are other options.
It was so fun. And repeatedly, anywhere from 5 to 10 times, bless her heart.
And talk about her commentators just hanging, fellow commentators hanging her out to dry, not trying to help, not correcting, just ignoring it. It's just letting her keep on committing Hari Kari in the booth.
XRM, really good player. He's the closest thing to DJ Newble we've seen in a while. DJ Newble's a really effective player. He can score. He's too big for some. I mean, he killed the Wildcats. He killed Illawarra, but so what?
Yep.
He killed the Wildcats. And that's Mitch Norton. We're going to talk about him in a second, but I have him top four. My top four is Sydney, New Zealand, Tasmania, and Melbourne, because I think they're going to be the best defensive teams. They're the teams that I see a degree of consistency with. I don't see it from Southeast Melbourne just yet. Now, I said I was going to give your Brokoff shooting splits. And before we get 50% from the field, 48 from three, 91% from the foul line, that's the sort of numbers we expected from him. So that's my one worry that could jump them in. But no, I like Melbourne. They're going to make an import change. What I actually, the whole Caroline thing's been dreadful, but what I have liked about it is, and unlike the Wildcats now and the Wildcats last season, which sunk their season, they've gone, we are making a change, full stop. Next question. The import knows, our guys know, we are, everyone who's out of a job or wanting to be out of a job, they know there's just, you can't hire for a job you're not advertising. They are advertising. The red light is on. Come on in, fellas. The fingernails are on the glass.
They have to make a change now anyway because he's under injury cloud. He's pulled a hammy, mate. We've got to get him chub-slopped out.
So I have him top four. Do you think I'm silly?
I do.
Okay. Well, fuck you. That's all. What else to say? Let's jump on Perth. Currently sitting in seventh. Wow. That was, you know what the worst, I think you may have said it on Twitter.
Yep.
Or maybe it was our good friend, the owl, the hoot, Westerhout. Hoot, hoot. This is a bad game to watch. This was just so entertaining. This is a game that just, it didn't have any, it just is like sand through fingers, just drifted away. It was really
so you're, yeah, pithy. You're talking about the Melbourne game, not the Southeast Melbourne game, which was
that
fun.
One. That was quite fun. But no, the Melbourne game where Melbourne destroyed them, the one most recently. Perth, they sit in seventh. They're 3-4. Andrew Canyon, you obviously don't have them in the top four. Do you have them in the top six?
Nope.
Wow.
How can I? How can I? They've been terrible. They've been embarrassing.
This is the one team that's got the biggest asterisk doing this, trying to make a declarative statement because we're going to talk about Manic. Wildcats, what do you want to say about those games? This team, you go for it.
This entire team, everything about it, talk about a massive disappointment, right? Everything about this team that was preached prior to them starting to play this season was about defense and rebounding and then push the break. Okay, they haven't played defense. They're not rebounding the ball. They can't rebound the ball because they're all too small, white, unathletic, and stuck on the ground. And therefore, they're not running. The only thing that they're doing in terms of running is running Bryce Cotton into the ground.
I like you're a poet. It's great. Yep, you're doing great.
And in actual fact, that was one of the questions I asked of John Riley in the press conference after they played Southeast Melbourne.
Just a question about the load that's going on Bryce Cotton at the moment. He's playing a lot of minutes.
Yep.
Probably more than I imagine you would ideally like. Is that just a situation you're in where you've got to try and get wins, or are you... Do you want to try and ease him off through the season?
Look, that's delicate, isn't it? When he's playing well, playing efficiently, like we all admire his scoring, but his ability to make plays for his teammates, like I think tonight 8 assists, his all-round game, his willingness to be about what we're trying to achieve here, like my hat's off to him. Would I like to reduce his minutes? For sure, but as we evolve, that will happen.
And it seems like he has a good relationship building with Tayshaun as well.
Yeah, look, tonight was encouraging for Tayshaun. You guys got to see as he gets himself into peak game shape, the way he can impact the game in a lot of different ways.
Look, the 3-point shot. It's always been talked about as your work in progress. It seems like that work is starting to pay off now.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's nice to see the ball go in, and it definitely gives you confidence. But I think that was just the mentality coming into this year was I was going to be a lot more confident with it, and obviously put in the work to make it go in a little bit more. So it's nice to see it pay off.
The segues are amazing tonight. It's seamless. This is a classy production, people. So let's take the time now. If you like the production and if you're a fan of the show. And we know that about 500 people each listen, 500 people a week listen, of which 30 of you are patrons. We appreciate that. The other 470 of you, give it a thought. We'd appreciate it. You were saying?
Yeah, so the Wildcats are terrible. They've got we've talked about Manic, and I'm sure we'll talk about him a little bit more, but he's just one player of many who have been disappointing. Like, do you want me to go through the list?
Do you want to go one by one? Let's do this. You go one player, I'll go another.
Okay, Luke Travers, drafted. Started off pretty well in the first game or two. Since then,
yep. I've got written here. What's his role?
Yep.
Before with Gleeson, it was clear. Rebound strongly, give it up, run fast to get it back and finish on the break. How many highlights was it of him finishing a fast break dunk? Mm. Now he's kind of on the perimeter. He's decision-making and it's resulting in turnovers. He's their second in charge because Norton's not really doing it. So he's there. Sorry. The next person I've got here, Corey Webster, just doesn't seem to want to play any D.
No.
He was the worst defensive rating on the team.
He's terrible. He just you watch him on the court. It's almost funny to watch. He just doesn't try. I would love to do a video breakdown of Corey Webster's defensive effort.
Wow. We're calling out effort. Okay. Give me another name.
Okay. Who's next? Todd Blanchfield.
I've got here clutch with a question mark, as in not. What have you got?
He's so not clutch. He's an automatic car, right? There is no clutch.
Wow.
He had one good game.
You 470. You're getting that for free. Pricks. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
He had one good game up in Cairns where the whole team played well. Easy to play well when everybody's playing well. How about stepping up when it's crunch time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, let me tell you this. Todd Blanchfield, late in games, is like a car without any gas. It just doesn't go. I like Blanchfield, who can contribute, but the role is not a fit. Yikes.
It's not working.
The next name I've got here is, before we go manic, let's go Norton.
Mitch
Norton. He's just hurt and inflamed.
What's happened to him?
He can't move. And you said it in a little chat we're having during the game where he'll get in the paint like he used to, and instead of drawing a foul, it's a turnover.
Yeah.
And then the added to that fact is 21% from the outside. So if you're not a threat inside, you're not a threat outside, you might have to stand in line. I don't know what's left.
I don't see. And he used to be good in terms of his defensive intensity was always good in the past. And he was a good organizer in offense. But I'm just not seeing any of that this year.
He's just perpetually either hurt or as I say, inflamed. He's not injured. Like, he's not carrying something, or maybe he is, but he doesn't move well. And that's not good.
Yeah.
Last name. It's obvious.
Brady Manick.
Shout
out to Tayshaun Thomas, actually. He's done well.
I had this written down. Who are their three best players?
Thomas. Cotton obviously. And probably Wagstaff.
That's exactly the three I've got written here. Jesse Wagstaff is the third best player on the Wildcats.
That's not a good situation to be in.
Is dreadful.
We're laughing about David Barlow and Tim Conrad and stuff.
He's their age.
Yeah, it's the equivalent.
And if you think he's going to be able to keep that up at the rate he's doing it through the year, that's just not what you're getting. It's like a car. We're coming back to the car metaphor. The gas light is on. The petrol light is on. And yes, you know you can stretch that probably quite further. But once you get to a point, you can't be putting the stress on Cotton. Can't be putting the stress on Wagstaff. And they've overdrafted. But Thomas, I really like him a lot. But there's no support.
Yeah, he's good, Thomas. He's looks really good.
He can shoot it. He can pick and roll. He's clever. Yeah. He's patient and cautious with the ball. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good. So hopefully get a bit more out of him. Bryce Cotton, just carrying on the car analogy, he's like a Ferrari, right? You can drive it fast.
Italian?
You can drive it fast, you can drive it hard, but if you go too hard for too long, it's going to break down.
Yeah.
It's going to break down. You got to appreciate the value. Treat it with care.
Brady Manick. We got to talk about this because this is where...
This guy's a Fiat.
I have left my top six open, my sixth spot open, and it is between, I've got Sydney, New Zealand, Tasmania, Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne in fifth, and then for sixth, it's either Perth or Cairns.
Yeah.
I don't rate Adelaide, we're going to get to it. Perth, the only reason I haven't answered this, right at the minute right now, I'd have Cairns. I'd have Cairns. They play harder.
Yep.
Perth, there is a dysfunction here. And Manick, obviously, what do you think? Should they get rid of him? What should they do?
I think they have to get rid of him.
I agree.
He is not producing enough for that position. I know he has a nice nice pedigree, a good CV, but I don't care. And like he was pumped up as a big-time player. If he hadn't been pumped up like that, I think people wouldn't even care. They'd be just like, just get rid of him. I think he's sort of the theory that he's meant to be good has saved him to date. But no, if he was any other player, like, they'd be calling for his neck. Last year, they were calling for Michael Frazier's neck. Yeah. And he was probably playing better.
He was actually hurt as well.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. Oh, well, you finish your thought.
No, and I just think, Manic, what's he given you? He's given you very little defensive presence. He gets pushed around. He's slow. He doesn't read and react well defensively from what I've seen. Mm. He doesn't give you any real inside post presence.
Nope.
And his three-point shot is consistently off. I think you've got to cut bait and say, well, we need something. And he's not athletic, and that's what this team needs. They need an athlete. Yeah.
It'd be different if he was grabbing a couple of rebounds and holding his spot. He's doing neither. And you just said it best, just not ready. I feel really bad for the kid. Just overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by it. Probably a long way from home for perhaps the first time. I can sympathize with all that. But this is where you're going to find out a lot about the Wildcats. Now, we slagged off the Kings before for, you know, the players running into the arms of their owner after Here's where the Wildcats we're going to see. Okay, now it's time for – we're going to really see what this team's about. Last year, the whole Frazier, John Brown III thing, that was a cock-up. And we saw, okay, immaturity's creeping in there. Yep, that derailed their season. Totally. Yep. Now we're about to see it here where Danny Mills, I'll say it very explicitly, either you keep Manic and preserve the relationship with the agent and, you know, no one gets cut, no one gets hurt, no hurt feelings. So if there's a job offer down the line in the US, hey, remember when I didn't do that? Or remember, hey, I'm a nice guy. You know, I got the job. Is it about the Wildcats and winning games for the city of Perth? Or is it about the Hutchie, Melbourne, business, Manic, UNC, USA? Is the focus on RAC Arena or is the focus elsewhere? I've had questions about this for a while. A lot of people I speak to have the same questions, fans and alike. Are they about winning games for Perth or is this another instrument of sporting content creation, the lads getting a good job in the NBA? We're about to find out with Manic because he's got to go. Bless him, overwhelmed, but this is an import slot. You don't. And do you want to take it to the tweets, Andrew?
Let's take it to the tweets. Tweets.
So that tweet. What's your response to that tweet, Andrew?
So, well, I should probably tell them what the tweet is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Mann, otherwise known as Bam_Boozle88.
Great name.
Great handle. Great year. So he says, I get the push to sack Manic, but I would go a different way. Offer him a 2-year contract on lower than average import money with no outs. Teams cut imports too quick, especially young ones. Remember Redditch was cut by NZ? And then he goes on to say, I'd then sack Danny Mills. Just got that cheap shot in at the end there.
That's like the arrow has gone into the body and then just you pull against the barbing to remove it. It was all kind of smooth sailing for a bit. What was this fella's name again? Ben something?
Ben Mann.
Ben Mann. I think Ben may be a patron. Politely. That's the stupidest fucking thing. I'll put it politely. I strongly disagree with pretty much all of that. Pretty much all of it, especially as Manic is concerned. I think that is doubling down on a horrible decision. This is an import slot. You can get any player from anywhere in the world. To not pursue that end is you're not doing right by your fan base. What do you think?
I kind of love the idea. I love the idea, but it is on one proviso, right? So I'm ready to roll this out as an action item. We get
cotton stitch.
The Aussie cotton.
This right? is. I'm not going to do this. This is the mirage. This is the oasis in the middle of the Simpson Desert.
It's got to happen at some point, right?
Oh no, I'm not. I'm not holding out for it. I'm not going to take a face full of sand again. And I said sand. Okay.
All right. So sorry, Ben. Otherwise, great idea. I like the lateral thinking, but no.
Yeah, no, disagree. Can I just say last thing? You're moving on from Manic. What type of player are you bringing in?
There's so many roles I could fill.
I'll give you. Yeah, you go.
Okay. So my first inclination is they need an athletic four, right?
Yep.
Like a guy who can protect the rim, get up sky, and an athletic specimen. Then that's not going to be easy to find, right? So my second option is maybe you go for a point guard.
We're thinking alike.
And you think you move Norton to the bench because he's not looking too good and he can add some starch to the second unit. And you have a guard that's a threat that can take the load off Bryce, find him some good looks. Mm. So they're the two directions.
And I think that's very – I think you've got two choices to make. One, you need to provide some sort of two-way player next to Bryce Cotton. You're wearing him down, just like what happened last year. He's being worn down. You need a player who can get a bucket, but you need a player who can defend his position. You can't just bring out a pure scorer. And you need someone who's a bit bigger, or can rebound.
That's the Webster, right? They thought that's what Webster was going to be able to do, and no. Webster doesn't play enough defense to cover production.
Yeah, can't have. Or you do, again, you go like a bigger wing. They just need someone who can defend their position, rebound, and score a little bit, and do a little bit of the ball handling duty. That may seem like a lot to put on one person, but like XRM would be perfect, but he's pretty top. He's a top end import. Or that sort of player. You know, even someone like Tarico White, that type of player. Big, broad, can rebound, definitely defend his position, hit some shots. Not the ball handling you're probably chasing, but you can't have everything. So I kind of agree with you that I'd go with a wing who can rebound. This team is soft. Yeah. Norton, at least, is not soft. I will pay him that. He's not effective at the minute, but he's not soft. But all those other guys we named are soft. So got to do it. Let's jump on.
Yep.
Adelaide are sitting in eighth position. They're 2 and 3. We haven't seen a lot of them, but I feel like we've seen enough. I don't have them in the four. I don't have them in the six.
I've got one more position left in my six to give out, and I'm going to give it to Adelaide.
I think you're out of your mind. Go on.
They've just got, like, on their night, they'll beat anybody, and I think they'll have enough of those nights to beat enough teams to get into the six. I know they've got no defensive starch. I know. I hear what you're saying, right? But it's just, I can't believe that a team with this many weapons cannot make the playoffs. It just seems absurd. So I'm taking them in.
Here are some thoughts for me. League worst defensive rating. Below Southeast Melbourne, below Perth, who we don't like. If you think Perth are soft and bad, this team's worse at defense. Second worst in turnover percentage. They gave up 103 points to Southeast Melbourne in an overtime. They scored 100 points on 98 against Southeast Melbourne, still lost. They cannot defend. They won't defend. I just can't bet on a team that won't do that. And then let's talk about sort of bad attitude stuff. This is stuff that's come out in Michael Randall took a nice photograph and a few other things. I don't put a heck of a lot of stock in what's been done.
Yep.
Even if it is true, this is not an uncommon story of player on basketball team has bad attitude, conflicts with coach. That's every season. This is just perhaps a little bit more blatant than usual. If you don't think this happened at United's locker room, Perth locker room, no, this is what it is. It's a very highly competitive sector and business and industry. So I'm not, even if it is true, it doesn't bother me. Where do you sit on their sort of perceived bad attitude?
Look, Randall does look like he's got a bit of a bad attitude. I think I've even called it that. So there's so much evidence to suggest it's true. Like it looks true, but then he comes out and says it isn't true. So I don't know. We're just going to have to sit back and watch for it to play out. You know, it's he says, she says at the moment, but me watching from the outside, I don't like it. And if I was playing with him as a teammate, there's a lot of times I wouldn't like it. So
he came out, he had 25 points on a high clip, like hate him all you want, but the problem is they just don't seem to want to defend in and around for him. Mm, you know, that's the problem. I don't know how you can have confidence in this team. I have none.
Okay.
And when they hit a dry, the bad attitude will come to the fore when a couple of games start to slip. Imagine when this team loses two in a row. I haven't looked at their schedule, but when they lose two or three in a row, oh my word.
Think it'll fall apart.
They'll be eating each other's flesh off. Be like the Rafter Medusa. Google it, people. Let's jump on. Brisbane Bullets, they sit in ninth. They're 2 and 5. I feel like we're wasting oxygen here. Both wins have come against the Hawks. Bravo. Listen to their next seven. Listen to the next seven games on the schedule. Have you looked at the schedule?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, okay. And I'll give the matchup and you tell me win or loss. Okay.
Okay.
At Tasmania.
Loss.
At, against Cairns.
Loss.
At New Zealand.
Loss.
Perth at home.
Win.
Tasmania at home.
Maybe a win.
Ooh.
I think maybe a loss. 50-50. No,
at Melbourne?
Win.
Canyon. At Cairns?
I'm out in Melbourne. Cairns, loss.
I think they may nab Cairns at home if they somehow... They're winning one, maybe two of those games most.
It's a couple, two or three games. If they do really well, all right?
That'll have them at 4-10.
Yeah, they're toast.
Done. So let's sort of talk about Brisbane and Illawarra together. Illawarra 10th, yep. They're 1-7. Who finishes on bottom?
I think Illawarra finishes on bottom.
They have to.
They're just so bad.
They're 1-7 already. So at least Brisbane already have the sort of a two-step on them and seem to be rounding into a little bit of health. Brisbane will annoy teams. Brisbane will knock off a Perth.
Yeah, you get Melbourne. Them on a good night. And,
get them on a good night. Sobey's on a heater. Yeah, for sure. Cadiz on a heater. It'll happen.
But the Hawks don't have any player like that you'd think, oh, well, he could get hot and go off. Like,
it used to be Harvey. It's not anymore. He was missing open ones. And I don't doubt that he has to work, 20% harder than every player to get open because he's the only player on the team. But he's just missing open ones now. And you're right. Yeah. Who's that heater guy? They've got no one. I've got a question for Illawarra for you. Can arrested Siva rescue the team from last place? I know we were definitive that they're not going to do that, but he looked good.
Yeah, he did look good, and I think he'll make this whole team look better. And I think he'll particularly help Froling get some easier baskets. So I think I think they'll become a bit more of a palatable watch. But it's not going to turn the dial on wins.
Do you think Peyton Siva's going to be the point guard of the two worst teams in the NBL year back to back?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a resume!
They look so bad. The roster just looks bad.
Yeah,
their locals, their top line imports like a Matthew Yang. It's just they're not even anywhere near the level.
Yeah,
brutal.
Tough. I don't know how this. I don't know how that team survives long term. Well, I know we have this conversation all the time. I'm not going to get into it today, but geez, it makes you wonder. Can I say, Joe, the one thing that makes me wonder as well as I look at the NBL Hungry Jacks league ladder, and we always criticize the lack of speed in which this thing updates, but can we get some consistency? Like, you've got all the teams and their names are spelled out there. Well, they're not really spelled out, they're just abbreviated. They have NZL and SID and all that because you couldn't possibly fit. Oh, I'm looking at it in a compressed view, actually. I'll expand that. Okay, here we go. I'm noticing something responsive design. Get the web team on this, right? When you make your web browser small, it compresses the ladder and it shows their three-letter abbreviation.
Tricode, yeah.
Tricode, thank you.
You're welcome.
Why is all the teams like abbreviation of their place, except Phoenix has PNX?
Yeah, that's...
And then it's Illawarra. SEM. Illawarra has HWK.
Well, that makes sense because they desperately want to move the team. That's why Illawarra plays so many Monday night teams. They're trying to squeeze that team.
Was like an attempt. They said they'd give the Illawarra name back. So it should be, if we're going to be consistent, it should be Ill and it should be SEM, right?
SEM, well, the SEM and Phoenix, that makes no sense to me at all because SEM rolls off the tongue. It's a nice tri code. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Hawks. Yeah, they want to squeeze that. They want to move that team. Who are they kidding? That team is a disaster. And where it's
so there's your writing on the wall. Make the ladder. Get on your web browser. Make the ladder small, like compress your window, so you see the tri codes, and you'll see what I mean. Everybody's the place except those two.
Tell me, Andrew. Before we do that, I haven't given a sixth team. Tell me, I'm trying to decide, and I know it's a declarative statements. Is it Perth or is it Cairns that I'm putting in that sixth spot? I think it's Perth.
Okay.
I'm down on Cairns. I just think...
All right.
Oh, it's tough. But this is with an asterisk of or a proviso that Perth are moving on from Manic, which they have to do. They're surely they're going to do it. They can't keep him around. So they do that and get a half decent guy, and I think they turn it around. And it's Perth. They've got Bryce Cotton. They've got Thomas.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I can see it, but I just don't believe it based on last year's evidence and everything they've been saying. You know, they put the wagons up. They've circled the wagons, and it seems like they're sticking with him for the time being. I still expect he'll be cut, but they're certainly saying all the right things.
We'll find out. We'll find out where the team's at. Give me the game of the round for next week, and let's get out of here.
Let me look at the fixture for next round.
Yeah, I can't. This website doesn't. Oh, no, there we go. Whenever I go to the website and look to the schedule, I have to scan. It starts me off at the first game of the season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I go to the schedule page now. I've given up on that little ticker thing.
So I do love the ticker. I do like it. Oh, Perth, right. Tasmania's around. Adelaide, Perth, New Zealand, Sydney, top of the table on Sunday at 2:00. That's not bad. And then the
throwdown.
The throwdown. Thank you. The summertime squash or whatever. Melbourne, Phoenix. Which one is the?
I'm going to go with game of the round being New Zealand, Sydney.
Yeah, in New Zealand too.
Yeah, it's got to be good. Spark Arena. So that's their big venue.
Mm.
So that'll be fun.
Holds about 10,000.
Yeah, it's good. Get the Kiwi commentary team, Casey Frank, the other guy.
Mm.
Was it Andrew Mulligan or is it the other guy? I can never remember their names, but I love them.
Yeah.
Be sure to watch that one. That's on 10 Peach in all your standard definition in resolution.
I could eat a peach for hours. Face off. There are some good games. Perth and Tasmania, Thursday night at 9:30 if you're here on the East Coast, which makes it, what, 6:30 over there, Andrew?
That's right. I'll be at that game.
You'll be at that game and in the presser. Planning
to attend the presser as well.
Nice. I think that'll be quite. Do you think Perth will win that, bouncing back?
Nope.
Oh, not even at home. They're not snake bit. Not hurt. Not feeling the bite and the pinch and want to.
Nope. They will be feeling all those things, but Tassie Jack Jumpers will be coming in with a. They want to prove
to crush.
That win wasn't a fluke in Tassie.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, those three games, they're the games of the round. So Sunday will be a lot of fun, everyone. 2:00, 4:00, ESPN, 10 Peach. Andrew Kenyon.
Joe Core.
Great episode. I'll see you next week.